Welcome to The Lob, your home of in-depth coverage and analysis by These Football Times, a movement of journalism you can trust. Each week, we endeavour to bring you the very best coverage of the game, exploring stories from the past and present with analysis by expert guests from around the world. Find more of our award-winning content online and in print. In the meantime, enjoy the podcast.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Lob Podcast from These Football Times. I'm Gary Thacker, and with the domestic season now done and dusted, it's nearly time for this summer's Euros. So in this episode, we're going to offer up a few thoughts on how we think the tournament might pan out. I'm joined on this perilous path of predictions by a couple of TFT's finest, who've agreed to put their heads above the parapets and offer their thoughts. And we'll see how the counters fall afterwards. Firstly, we have Matthew Gibbs. Welcome, Matthew. Have you got your crystal ball polished and ready to roll?
Yeah, I've actually done a little mock tournament myself to try and figure out who's gonna win the whole thing. And it gets very confusing with the whole third best place finishes, doesn't it?
Good man. That's what I said, thorough preparation. Our second Mystic Meg tonight is Mr. Rob Fletcher. Rob, have you dealt your tarot cards? Have you run through a tournament as well?
To be honest, I have as well.
Get in, gentlemen.
I did, and I thought, I did it about four different times because the more and more I read about all the different squads, I thought, oh, I don't think they're going to win now. I don't think they're going to win. So who knows what the prediction's going to look like in a 6 weeks' time.
I can see I've picked the right guys here for this, John. This is going to be good. Then I'll like this prep for the episode. If one of you gets the entire tournament right, by the way, there's a special prize. I'm not sure what it is, but it's enough. It's bragging rights, massive bragging rights. Right, as I said, let's get the ball out and have a kick around for a bit then. We're going to start with the groups and see if we can nail down who will top the top of each group. So we start with Group A, logically. I'll come to you first, Matthew. It's Germany, Scotland, Hungary, Switzerland. What do you think, mate?
I think Germany, you know, I think they've had a very rough, rocky few years with a couple of group stage exit at World Cups and quite a humbling defeat against England at the previous Euros. But I think they've kind of turned it around. I don't know if you guys saw the documentary a few years ago, the All or Nothing Germany that followed them at the 2022 World Cup. After seeing that and after seeing, you know, Hansi Flick do the whole follow the geese thing that he tried to do to try and motivate the players, it was very cringy, very did not go well at all. I think the only way you can go is up from there. And I think they've got a very interesting manager, Julian Nagelsmann, you know, known for being a bit of a mad tactician, doing some weird stuff like playing Kai Havertz at fullback, or as Nagelsmann himself likes to call it, a left 10, whatever the hell that means. But I think they've got a strong squad. I think they've got a really strong squad. I think they've got, you know, some centre-backs to choose from in Antonio Rudiger, who's a monster, Schlotterbeck and Jonathan Tah, who are very, very good centre-backs. I don't think there's many better defences at these Euros. You've got Musiala and Pavlovic, who are quite exciting. And Toni Kroos is back. Toni Kroos is back in the squad, and this is his final farewell, his swan song before, you know, going off into the distance to retire. And I think there's a bit of a story there. I mean, they're hosting the thing. A lot of the German public have been quite wary about hosting this tournament due to how the last couple have gone. And there's a certain amount of apathy towards the team. But I think if they start strong, which they can, and, you know, couple that with fan culture in Germany, how strong that is, I think the whole country could be bouncing. I think they could take the tournament by storm. So that's who I've got to sort of take that group.
Well, that's the tournament finish. So thanks for all that. And catch us next time on the Lob Pod. No, sorry. I think all you said that is true. Just interesting about Musiala. We, the Chelsea fan, we sold him. We gave him away for £200,000 a few years ago. And apparently he's now worth £120 million. So great work, as usual, by the transfer geniuses at Stamford Bridge. I think you put in a reasonable case. And it's probably the most straightforward group in the tournament. So coming to you, Rob. Thoughts? Do you agree with what Matthew said?
Yeah, I think you can't rule out Germany and someone like Nagelsmann, although he likes to tinker and likes to do things a little bit differently. I think that's come from his days, obviously, building up Hoffenheim and Leipzig, certainly. But if you look at the sort of spine of their side, Neuer, Rudiger, Kimmich, Kroos, Wirtz, Musiala, Gundogan, Havertz, I mean, that's a pretty strong spine. If they get everybody fit and they get everybody playing, I think they'll be a really strong contender to get far. How far they get, who knows, but I think their group is pretty generous to them, to be honest. I would probably expect them to get at least 7 points from what they've got in front of them.
I couldn't agree more, guys. I think it's probably the least complicated group. No disrespect to Scotland, Hungary and Switzerland, but you've got to fancy Germany, especially being at home as well. I'll go along with what you say on that, guys. I'm going to start with you, Rob, for Group B. So we've got Spain, Croatia, Italy and Albania. Perhaps not as straightforward as this might seem first off.
No, it's probably not as straightforward, actually. I think Italy are probably one of the sides that people who maybe haven't been following their progress over the last couple of years might expect to do quite well, especially after what happened in the Euros at Wembley, lifting the trophy. They're not the same squad that they were. They've not had a great sort of couple of years. I do fancy Spain in this one, to be honest. I think that they're going to, again, in these tournaments in a group stage, you just need to get out of the group. You need to get seven points, really. Make sure you finish top of the group so you get the best draw possible. I mean, I say the best draw possible. How many times have we seen it where you think coming first is the best, when actually second might be a little bit easier? But you look at some of the players they've still got. We all saw the Champions League final when you got people like Carvajal and Nacho really solid at the back. They've got Rodri in midfield. Morata, I mean, is he ever not going to be a starting striker for anybody? You know, he somehow stays at those big clubs in Europe, doesn't he? And I wouldn't be surprised if he gets two or three goals in the games that he plays. But whether he should be there, they probably haven't got a lot else in terms of that. Maybe Hossolu. But I'd probably anticipate Spain being the ones to progress because they've got that bit of experience. Albania, I'm actually quite interested to see. I know they'll be an interesting team and fantastic that they've qualified so confidently. So I'd be interested to see them in their three games as well.
Yeah, good call on Albania. I mean, it's one of the. I mean, most of the teams we know a lot about. Albania, not so much. Not so much. Interesting point you make about Morata. I mean, obviously living over in Spain, I get to see all the Spanish games and league, and it gets caught offside five times a game, I mean, just guy just leaves on the offside line. And I'm surprised Simeone and take one side. This is how the offside rule works, mate. But anyway, there you go. But yeah, that's a good call. Good call. Okay, Matthew. Coming to you, buddy. Thoughts on this group?
I'm not convinced by Spain, you know. I think a bit similar to sort of the last few tournaments, I think their sort of adherence and stubbornness when it comes to playing that possession-based football just isn't quite... It's not how international teams win tournaments. And I think that might come to bite them like in the backside again. And they're in the same group as Croatia, and Croatia will probably turn up and do what Croatia keep doing at the last four or five tournaments and somehow grinding their way through, not winning a game, just drawing their entire way through to the semi-finals. And everyone will still be asking the questions, how are they not tired yet? Because it's like three extra times in a row. And they've got much the same squad. They've still got Modric. They've still got, you know, a very, very attractive defence. You've got Juranovic from Union Berlin. You've got Gvardiol. You've got Stanisic from Leverkusen. Some, you know, very interesting players in midfield. Kovacic is there. Brozovic is still there. Lovren Mae is still there. It's almost the same squad, basically. And you just can't rule them out doing what they did before. And in the opposite vein, I'm not sure I expect much from Italy this tournament. I think they're in a weird place with how many times have they swapped managers over the last few years, with Mancini departing for Saudi Arabia, and they don't have much in the way of players who can score goals. So I'm not expecting much from them. But this could be one of those groups where we have a third best finish that ends up qualifying.
Yeah, I think you both call that well, guys. I mean, I mean. Italy, I agree. I think they're living on reputation for a little bit, even though they're holders of the tournament. Spain, I see a lot of Spain over here. Since Luis Enrique has left, the guy who took over, his name scares me at the moment, he's not exactly Mr. Charisma. And he doesn't seem to be able to motivate the players so much. And, you know, they've got through and not overly impressive. And Croatia, yeah, could be a danger.
Marginally controversial as well, isn't it? Still having De La Fuente in charge with his...
Yeah. De La Fuente, sorry,
Yeah, his backing of the head of the Spanish FA who...
And he's got kicked out now, hasn't he? Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. He was like front and centre when... I can't remember his name. You know, the big speech in the Spanish FA and everyone was clapping. De La Fuente was front and centre of that, and that was very much noticed in the Spanish press. I'm not sure if like he's a universally adored appointment.
Yeah, I don't think he is thinking right there. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting group. I think it's one of those teams where, if you could top the group at 4 points, I think, quite easily there. But yeah, interesting one. Okay, we're going to move on to England's group now. I'm going to come to you, Matthew, first. So England are up against Slovenia, Serbia and Denmark. Now, if Southgate wanted to handpick the opposition for his group, he might well have gone for that group.
It's quite a kind group compared to some of the other ones. I have my doubts about England this tournament. I think the squad is, it's an exciting squad, but there's a lot of question marks still hanging over it. I'm not convinced by the defence, and I'm not. I don't like the idea of going into a tournament with a half-cut Luke Shaw and then having to rely on, is it Joe Gomez or Kieran Trippier playing left back? Not that I think there are that many other options, but you know, it's not ideal. I know there's some question marks around Harry Kane's fitness as well. He's had a back injury for a while, hasn't he? I know we're sort of filming, we're recording this as the first friendly's taking place, which he hasn't started. So I think we will, well, actually, no, I say this. I think we'll get through the group, and I have a feeling that we might end up being a tournament's flops. But then when I did this mock tournament, I saw us get through to the semi-finals. So well, I don't know what I know. I have my concerns. I have my concerns about England. I wonder if this might be a bit of an unceremonious final tournament for Southgate, who I've been a fan of over the last 10 years. I think he's done a very good job and done it in a very positive fashion. But I wonder if this might be, you know, the tournament he's remembered for and it doesn't go well.
It's interesting, you know, you say about Southgate. I was reading a piece, I think it was Henry Winter today, and he said that Southgate's, Southgate's first game, his goalkeeper in back four was Pickford. The United guy we just mentioned, the fullback, right back, his name's gone out of my brain for a second now, Maguire, Stones, and the City guy. And it's the same, they're going to start the tournament with the same team at his first international, with, what's that, 5 years ago? So well, that's a good sign for consistency, or a bad sign because there's a few people breaking through. I don't know.
The calls about Southgate being too loyal are a bit not unfair, but like they're maybe a bit unfounded. I mean, lest we forget, he dropped Wayne Rooney and Joe Hart for the 2018 World Cup. So he's not afraid of making some big decisions, and he's made some pretty brave decisions with his squad. But it is a bit galling there, and a bit, you know, says a lot about the state of the defenders we have to choose from. That we're still going to
require. Yeah. Defenders is a good point. The defenders, I think the midfield probably is a bit more brighter light. I mean, you've got the likes of, you know, Rice seems to be well set in midfield, and then you've got players coming through. I mean, Alexander Arnold is like playing in midfield, Cole Palmer is, you know, Bellingham. You've got a lot of choice in midfield. So, do you think that might be a better chance for us, Rob?
I'm very bullish about England's chances in this tournament. I think that we're going to get all the way to the final, and I think I'm going to win it. And when I did the mock kind of predictions all the way through, I think I was against Austria in the knockout round, the first knockout round, and then we beat. It's the way it's worked. If this was to happen and we did it, it'd be amazing. So you beat Italy in the quarters, France in the semis, then Germany in the final. Now I feel like that would just be absolutely poetic. You know, France beat us in the World Cup, Italy beat us in the Euros, and Germany are Germany, but I take the point about the defence, but what I would say is I think if you look at that Spain team that was so successful over three tournaments, what's that over a four to 6 year span maybe, where they've got a spine of 14 to 15 players, and you look at some of the ages of those players, Kyle Walker's 34, bit different, but Stones and Maguire 30 and 31, Kieran Shaw 28. If you talk about it historically, that was the perfect age for a defender because they'd earned the stripes. They were experienced. They knew what they were doing. And for me, I think we've got an easy group, but I do think we've got good teams in it. So I think it's actually going to be more challenging than we think. And I do think that will actually help England in the long run because you're playing some trickier teams. I looked at that Serbia squad. I don't massively rate them. I don't think they're brilliant. But if you look down the list of who they've got, especially attacking-wise, you've got like Tadic, Milinkovic-Savic, Mitrovic, Luka Jovic and Dusan Vlahovic, which actually are going to cause us problems, which I think will actually help us because the qualifying's always easy for England. We breeze through them now. People have really started to take that for granted too. Remember how difficult it used to be scraping through, you know, terrible draws away from home, 1-0 wins, 2-1 wins. And I think it's the forward positions. My only issue that I've got is I think Southgate will play two central midfielders and I think that'll be the problem. I think he needs to play Declan Rice there by himself and play Foden and Bellingham in front of Rice with Saka and Palmer wide and Kane up front. And I think if you leave Rice there on his own, he'd be absolutely fine. Don't fancy Trent in there. If you're going to play anyone, I'd play Maynou over Trent, to be honest, because Trent's a right back. And if you're going to get the best out of him, play him right back. But I do fancy us to win all three games in the group. And I think there'll be good games as well. I think we've got some good teams. I think it'll set us up well for the knockouts.
Yeah, good call. Yeah. It's interesting about Alexander Arnold. I mean, this is a guy who's, you know, played, I mean, 99.9% of his career in one position, and we're looking at putting him into, you know, the second largest international tournament in the world in a different position. So, yeah, interesting. But, yeah, I think, you know, I'd agree with you guys. I think England should qualify from that group, and then it just depends on who you get drawn against. Okay, so, you know, it's always a group of death in these tournaments. I've just had my little peruse before we started. It's not terrible group of death, but Group D could be complicated. And you've got Poland, Netherlands, France, and Austria. So I'm going to come to you first, Rob. What do you think there? Is it the group of death, and who's going to be the team to come out of that one?
I feel like this is the group of death on paper. Poland never quite seemed to get it right in tournaments, to be honest. I mean, they know they've got Lewandowski, but how good he's going to be against some of those defenders, I'm not quite certain about that. Austria, I've got getting out of the group. I think Netherlands, I had a little look into them, and I kind of fancied them at first when I saw the sort of squad list on paper. But then when you dig into it a little bit, I think some of the sort of old ways of the last sort of 20 years for them have kind of started to reappear a little bit. I'm not convinced about Koeman either, to be brutally honest. And I think France are going to beat everyone in that group, to be honest. I think they're a really strong squad, a really good side. I still think they've got some weaknesses, but I'd like to think that they'll win the three games to finish top of the group. But yeah, I mean, I think there's some challenges in that group, definitely.
Matthew? Is it the group of death? Is there any wild card in there that's going to cause an upset, you think?
So this is one of my bold predictions for the tournament now. I think Austria are going to be the big dark horses that could get to the quarterfinals, even semi-final. Since appointing Ralf Rangnick in the last few years, it's been a real shot in the arm for them. They missed out on the previous World Cup, but before that were sort of existing in group stages of tournaments, never getting very far. They got very comfortable, but Rangnick's changed all that. He's come in, he's playing his typical high-pressing style of football, but I love the stuff that he's done, like moving the home games away from Vienna, taking the teams around the country, giving to fans around the... I mean, Austrian fans, especially from what I've read, is they have a very club-first mentality. So, you know, if you think about the international team, it's just in Vienna, where now they've had a chance to tour around the country, give fans who wouldn't usually have seen Austria play in their hometown see them play. I think they've got some very exciting players. I think Marcel Sabitzer, Marko Arnautovic and Konrad Leimer are a very strong basis to form that on. And then you've got Christoph Baumgartner, who, if I remember right, scored that during qualifying. Was it like after 10 seconds or 9 seconds scored this, you know, outrageous goal? He's a very exciting player. I think they have a really good opportunity to go quite far. There's always a team that surprises people, and there's a team that, you know, has the potential to go quite far. And I agree with Rob that I don't think Netherlands are going to do much. Poland are not going to do anything at all. They barely qualified, did they? They beat Wales, and that was a very, very disappointing performance from Wales to lose out on that one. And France will dominate all. But yeah, Austria are my dark horses to go quite far in the tournament.
Good stuff, guys. I thought, you know, I said this could be the group of death, and, you know, we've sort of I'm going to throw Poland in here. I think Poland are going to do well here. It's interesting. I mean, you know, it's at this sort of stage, you know, one win, given the third place qualifies, is it two out of the groups, two third place or three third places qualify? Actually, Poland getting out of that group, comfortably. But it's an interesting one, that is. And France, are they going to be as good as they were last time? Are they going to be as good as last at the World Cup? Mbappe's a big key figure, I suppose, for them. Interesting. I always thought when Mbappe was playing with Giroud, it worked so well. And when they brought in Benzema, it's all rather than a bit of goal scorer, but all of a sudden with Griezmann, Mbappe and Benzema are all sorts of trying to do the same thing, and it sort of chokes him up. So it'd be interesting how he lays the attack out, because obviously Mbappe is the centrepiece, and you've got to make it work for him. But yeah, interesting stuff there. So, okay, Group B. I'm going to come to you, Matthew, first. So we've got Belgium, Slovakia, Romania, and Ukraine. So we've got Belgium and three Eastern European countries. So we're interesting with Ukraine, I suppose, given the current political and military situation, as it were.
Yeah, they've kind of defied the odds a little bit to qualify, haven't they? It's still difficult to look past Belgium for this, though. I think I'm just checking. Like, let me just check now. But Domenico Tedesco, Belgium manager, hasn't lost yet. I think it's 12 games in charge. He's won 8, drawn 4. And as much as they are, you know, just a little bit outside the golden generation, they've still got a very good squad to choose from. They've still got De Bruyne, they've still got Lukaku, they've got the Ketelaere from Atalanta, who's very good. Jeremy Doku, who's been doing really well, Trossard. I mean, the players they've got to choose from is an exciting mix. You question, because they're still, you know, the defence is Wout Faes and Vertonghen still, and, you know, maybe that's where they're missing some players. I don't expect them to go too far, but I think they will come to be top this group. I think they are, with players like De Bruyne in the team, they've always got a chance.
I think the one thing with Belgium, I mean, they're an ageing team, aren't they? I mean, you mentioned De Bruyne, Lukaku there again is, you know, is on well past his best, and it's a fairly ageing defence, as you said. Rob, what do you think of this group? My take is it's going to be Belgium to win the group?
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, this looks on paper to probably be the least interesting group. No offence to anyone whose team is in that group, but it just doesn't kind of grab me, really. You know, sometimes when you see those games advertised on BBC and ITV and you think, oh, that player's playing, or that player's playing, I'm definitely going to tune in for that one. Belgium, yeah, I think I could watch a lot of their games, but looking through the squads for the other sides, there's no one really there that is sort of jumping out with me and thinking, oh, I can't wait to watch them. In terms of Belgium, I think they've probably got a little bit more going forward than they have at the back. I mean, when you think Vertonghen and Witsel are still knocking about at 37 and 35, probably going to be strolling around at the back for them. I think they're going to get found out a bit later on. But if you look at what they've got going forward, as Matthew was saying, they've got quite a bit of power there. I think Openda as well at Leipzig's had a great season since he signed for them in the summer. So I think they've got it going forward. It's funny, I think there's quite a few teams. England are probably like that. France are probably like that. Belgium are certainly like that. All the power is in the attacking positions rather than defensive positions. So, yeah, I can't really see past Belgium finishing top of that group.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair call. I mean, Timo Courtois has been there playing out of his skin as well for Real Madrid as well, so he's top goalkeeper. I mean, Ukraine's interesting. It'd be Mudryk could be running very, very quickly and to lose the ball. Chamberlain is in Sean Wright-Phillips, who's in the Chelsea. Ran very quickly, he lost the ball. Anyway, final group. Let's start with you, Rob. This is a group where, you know, the seeded team, Portugal in this case, would probably like to pick these teams to play against if they could. Turkey, Georgia and the Czechs. Thoughts?
Yeah, I came into this thinking I don't fancy Portugal. And I don't know why, but there's just something about them. And then I looked at the qualifying record and I thought, maybe they're going to be okay. But when you look down the list of their squad, I mean, they won every game in qualifying. They absolutely hammered everybody. They were plus 34 goal difference in 10 games, which is quite frightening, really, and 30 points to qualify. They had quite a decent group, actually. Quite a lot of the stronger, lower-ranked Nations League teams were in their group, so it was a decent standard in the group, and they blitzed everybody. And then, you know, I think sometimes when you look at the headline of some of these squads, when you actually look down the list and you kind of think about who they've got and where they are, Roberto Martinez will get them playing a good style of football. You know, maybe he's a little bit kind of like he was at Belgium, where they kind of destroyed everybody in the easy games, but when it came to the big games, he didn't quite have that bit of nous and that bit of know-how. I'm concerned, I suppose, that it depends what Ronaldo turns up, I suppose. If the sort of team player Ronaldo turns up and kind of allows the other players to thrive, I think they could look good. I mean, you look at the attack, they've obviously got Ronaldo, Bernardo from City, João Felix, Jota from Liverpool, Rafa Leão, Gonçalo Ramos. I mean, if you look at those six players, I'd probably argue they would start in all of the other six group winners' teams. And they're starting 11, so you think they've got six of, you know, the top 25 attackers or top 30 attackers. They're probably going to do quite well. But then you've got age 41 Pepe in defence. So, I mean, I know he's still going strong, but I suppose it depends who they come up against. But they do look, you know, after my initial thoughts and then quickly changing my mind, they do look pretty strong on paper. And I think the group's been very, very generous to them as well, with Turkey, Georgia and the Czech Republic. So again, I think it'll probably be a three wins, like 11 goals scored, one conceded, and just see where they get to in the knockouts.
I like it. Interesting about Portugal with Pepe. I mean, before the last tournament, they played Spain in a friendly, and Jose Fons, who's played from West Ham, was partnering Pepe, and the two centre-backs added together accumulated 82 years. So, but yeah, but Fons are there. But Pepe, as you know, is, I suppose, he's got experience. You can't say he's certainly at that age. Matthew, thoughts on this group, buddy?
Yeah, I agree with Rob. I think it's difficult to look past Portugal. There are obviously question marks about Roberto Martinez as you get further into a tournament. I think he's showed with Belgium that, you know, he gets to the crunch time, he sort of chokes a little bit. I think Georgia could be quite fun. I don't know if they're going to, you know, do much, but they've got some very good players. They've got Kvaratskhelia from Napoli. There's a bunch of other players who I must confess I'm not going to be able to pronounce the names, but Mikaradze from Metz is a very good player who's had a good season. They've got a few players playing in America. They've got Mamardashvili, who's the goalkeeper for Valencia, who's a very good goalkeeper. They've got some quite fun players, quite technical compared to what Georgia has produced before, so they could be quite fun to watch. And then Turkey, I think perennial dark horses. They do have some very good players, however. They do have Orkun and Kokcu, who playing for Benfica, used to play for Arne Slot at Feyenoord. Very good player. They've got Yusuf Yasici from Lille, who I'm a big fan of. He's very good. And then quite a few good defenders in Zeki Celik from Roma and Mary Demirel from... used to be at Atalanta, but he's in Saudi Arabia now. So Turkey and Portugal probably to go through, but I think Georgia might be quite fun to watch some of those games.
Yeah, okay. Before we move on, we chatted a bit about England, but we haven't touched on Scotland. It's a difficult group they've got, well, certainly with Germany, but Hungary and Switzerland, are there a chance of getting out of the group, Matthew?
It's a tricky one. I didn't actually mention it before, but I think Hungary are another one of my dark horses. They're a very good team. They've had a very good... I mean, as the day we're talking now, we don't know what's going to happen with the pre-tournament friendlies, but they're unbeaten in like 18 games or something stupid like that. And we're only 2 years away from Hungary absolutely hammering England in Wolverhampton, 4-0, was it? Some very good players. I think they will be quietly optimistic about qualifying ahead of Scotland and Switzerland. When it comes to Scotland, I think they did incredible to qualify. I think they had a couple of performances and results, like the win against Spain will be one of those games that, you know, those of a Scottish persuasion will sit around in 30 years and be like, that was incredible. That was what an unbelievable result that was. We made Rodri cry. That was good. That was, you know, really enjoyed that. But then since securing qualification, they've been, what is it, talking today that they played Gibraltar, but they beat Gibraltar 2-0. Which is not a massive scoreline. It was their first win in 8 games. So I think they might have, you know, run out of steam a little bit. But listen, anything can happen. I mean, especially in these groups where basically everybody goes through with, you know, the third place playoffs. They've got some good players. I know they're missing a few. Lyndon Dykes is injured. Lewis Ferguson from Bologna is injured. But Steve, you know, I trust Steve Clark. Steve Clark's a very good manager and we'll get them playing robust football, I would imagine. So anything's possible. But I think Hungary and Germany are quite stiff opposition.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty fair assessment. Just before I come to you, Rob, to tell you that Scotland won tonight, 2-0 away from home, which is good news. But perhaps tempered that by saying they were playing Gibraltar away from home, so perhaps less than it sounds. What do you think? Can they get the group, Rob?
They need goals. That's the problem. Sometimes you can squeeze through with a 1-0 and maybe a 1-1 draw, but unfortunately for them, obviously, they've qualified, which is incredible, brilliant. Great achievement, some great memories along the way, but they just haven't quite got that tournament style squad for me. And looking a lot at Hungary and looking at how they play and their style is quite different from other teams, and it'll be quite exciting to see them play. And I think they haven't got the star of like a Szoboszlai that Hungary have got. And I think someone like that can be a difference maker in a 1-0. Hungary, I think, will fancy getting 2 wins in the group. I think they'll look at it and think, right, we can go and beat Scotland and we can go and beat Switzerland. And I think because Scotland have got Germany first and Hungary have got Switzerland, you could already be on a win for Germany, win for Hungary. You're halfway there. And I think that's a really, really difficult thing. I remember it in France 98, actually, when they had Brazil in the first game and they got beat 2-1, I think it was. I think Colin scored a penalty. But it's that kind of, you need to build that momentum. And I think Hungary will have that. To be fair, they've got to try and think, you can be a third place. I think lucky losers or whatever they're calling them. That third place, there's 4 of those across the 6 groups. So if you can get yourself into position where you're just better than the other third place teams, again, you've just got that extra bit of a chance. And you don't want to go into a tournament thinking, let's try and finish third. But at the same time, if you can get a win, you know, you've got a really good chance of getting in that position.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, most of these, the non-top-seeded teams have been talking about. You know, one win out of three games will probably, you know, give it more than a decent chance of finishing in one of the third-place slots that gets through. So I think we sort of touched on teams that, you know, we thought are going to do well and not do so well. But I want to come to you first, Rob. If you're going to only one team that's going to be the most unexpected success of the tournament, I mean, not necessarily win it, but do better than their sort of expectations, who would you go for, mate?
The team for me will be Hungary. And part of that, I think, probably the international kind of community who watches a lot of these games probably expect them to do quite well. But from sort of a British point of view, as we're sort of looking at it through that lens, I think they'll probably surprise us a little bit. Yeah, they might get knocked out in the first knockout round or just miss out on getting to a quarterfinal maybe. But I think we'll probably be surprised by some of their football, their style of play. And Matthew sort of alluded it to a little bit before. A lot of these countries are technically very good. You're going to have to break down a strong system and beat a lot of technically gifted players, because a lot of these players are now moving to Ligue 1, to Serie A, to La Liga. They're playing at a good standard. They're playing Conference League, Europa League, Champions League. There's not as many players anymore, maybe sort of the last 5 to 8 in the squad that you might not know about. But Hungary, I'm really excited to see. Really interesting manager, an Italian manager there who's got a good reputation, building a good reputation, got a good run coming into it. Szoboszlai, as we said, has had a decent start to his Liverpool career. It's brilliant free kicks. Some of the free kicks he scored in the qualifying campaign were absolutely superb. So I'm really excited to see them.
Okay. Good call, Matt. Good call. Matthew, you have sort of give us a couple of hints along the way, but who would be your one selection? If you had to pin you down to one.
Yeah, I'm going with Austria. I think Austria, I mean, I've said this before in previous, you know, previews of tournaments, and I'm always wrong, but I will stick with Austria. I think they could be exciting. I think Rangnick's onto a good thing. I proved that he's onto a good thing by saying no to Bayern Munich to stick with Austria. I think that the point Rob makes is like very pertinent as well. I mean, with Austria, they've had some good players over the years, but you know there are more players to choose from now than before. And despite the polar opposite statements, but they've also placed a lot more trust in the players from the Austrian league, which is something that hasn't been done by previous managers, but Rangnick has. And yeah, I just think they're going to be quite exciting to watch. They're going to be, you know, very high octane as the way that, you know, their classic old Red Bull style that Rangnick brought into European football. It's a shame they're missing David Alaba. I think he's a very, very good player who is, you know, a difference maker for them. But he's still out with, I think, it's an ACL injury. So that's a shame. But they are a team that is, you know, greater than the sum of its parts. And I think they're going to show that this tournament.
Okie dokie, so that's one call for Hungary, one for Austria. I'm going to chuck Poland in there. We're going to now look at the teams that perhaps are going to sort of fall below their sort of expected status, shall we say. It's the reverse of what we've just done. So, Matthew, to you first, buddy. Who's going to be the flop, relatively speaking?
I'm worried it might be England. I have a bad feeling. I just think there's quite a few question marks about us, and I think the way I had the sort of mock tournament goes that we could face someone like Netherlands in the next round who, you know, could squeak through on a third place finish or something like that. And we have not a great record against teams like that. So, I mean, there's a lot of question marks. I think a few of the important players in the squad are looking a bit gassed as well. They're looking a bit tired. You know, Bellingham played in the Champions League final a few days ago. And the day after that final, there's a friendly. He's another one who is not exactly being played in the position that you would think Southgate would want to play in as well. Like, he's usually used further up the field, whereas in an England setup, you think he'd be a bit more midfield based. I worry about Harry Kane. Like I mentioned before, if he's still got that injury, the drop off from Harry Kane to the strikers that we have, while Ivan Toney and Ollie Watkins are very, very good strikers, I'm a big fan. What we need in this England team is slightly different. I think it's a big drop off in quality and a big drop off in output as well. So I think I might be very unpatriotic of me, but I might be predicting a flop for England.
Okay, it's interesting. As we talk, it's half-time in the friendly international against Bosnia and Herzegovina. To you, Rob.
So my flop, I sort of talked about a little bit before, was the Netherlands. I just think they've not quite got the strength and depth that maybe previous years they would have had. I think when you look at some of their players, I think I was looking at Frankie de Jong and I thought, you know, he's a great player in a good team. Is he enough to be a top player in a team with the quality that they've got now? I'm not so sure. not so sure about that. They've still got good players. They've got De Ligt, Van Dijk, Nathan Ake at the back, which is pretty strong. Cody Gakpo, I think Gakpo's probably quite underrated in the Premier League. I think if he was playing for a different side, he'd be a first-team regular, I think. And I think next season he may well see a lot more of that. Xavi Simons, who was at Leipzig, has been good again. So it's another one of those where you look at it and you just think, is it going to come together for them? You know, are they going to have enough? Are they going to play the right system? Like, you look at Frimpong, who's at Leverkusen, he's only got two caps for them. He's been brilliant all season, but is that enough to actually get yourself into a system, play into the system? And it is the Dutch, and I do think Ronald Koeman's quite a strong character, so I think there might be a case of if he wants to play a certain way, that's it, rather than adapting maybe to some of the players that he's got at his disposal. Just not 100% certain that they've got enough. I think it's, do you know what I think it is with some of these teams when you look at who they've got? I feel like they're missing that one big focal point. And I take Matthew's point about Harry Kane. Like, if England lose Kane, for me, I'd play Cole Palmer or Bellingham as the nine and play a completely different way. But Southgate won't do that because he just can't cope. But I think a lot of these other teams, they're missing that kind of talisman figure number nine. And I think that's why Giroud, you said it a little bit earlier on, Gary, that's why I think they brought Giroud back in for France, because having that strong figure as the nine helped everybody else. And I think the Dutch are missing that. Wout Weghorst is not the answer as the number nine for the Dutch. So that would be my one that I'd probably watch out for to maybe not quite be as good as we think they should be.
I think that's some really good points there, because I think, you know, what is successful at international football is often not as complicated as you know, club football. They don't have the time with the players. They don't have, the ability to coach the players in the way that they want. So football at international level is often a bit more rudimentary. And I think the Netherlands squad have what I would call football manager eyes, in that a lot of really good, like, highly rated players, but have any of them actually done much in club football? Look at the forwards they got in Steven Bergwijn, Brian Brobbery, Memphis Depay, Cody Gakpo, Daniel Marlin, and Wout Weghorst. All of them, if you sign them on a video game, would probably be incredible for you. But in real life, they've just never actually quite, you know, reached the potential that they're, you know, that they've threatened in the past.
Classic Dutch, isn't it, really? You know, they'll either flop or win the tournament. I mean, it's interesting, you mentioned a couple of the players you mentioned there. Frenkie de Jong, he's been carrying an ankle injury for a long time towards the end of the season, and he was interviewed in over a newspaper over here, one of the sports papers, and said he'll play through the pain barrier to play for the Netherlands. And you're thinking, well, that doesn't sound great, does it, really? And Xavi Simons, he actually comes from a town about 3 kilometres away from where I am now. He's actually born in Spain, although he's naturalised. I think his parents were Dutch, but anyway, there you go. So, yeah, interesting one. I'm going to chuck Italy in, because I don't think they're going to sort of not get the group. Well, but they might struggle to get the group. And, you know, I think the first big team they come up against, they might struggle. You know, this is the holder, so, you know, getting out in the first knockout round quarterfinals is a bit of a letdown. Okay, now, you've both gone through the tournament, which is great for the next session we're going to come on to, because obviously it's difficult to know who's going to finish second, who's going to finish third, and who you're going to draw and whatever. But what I want to know now is your predicted last four teams. So let's see. I'll start with you, Matthew. I mean, your last four teams, I can't allow any fifth options. So you've got to give me your last four.
I did go quite hard on the Austria thing. I only did the one mock, which if I'd have done a second one, I might not have done this. But I had... I may have got this a bit wrong because it gets a bit complicated with the third place playoffs, but I had a Germany-Austria semi-final and an England-France semi-final, which, I mean, considering I've just predicted England's a flop, makes no sense. But I think that is a possibility. I did have in the previous round. I think, actually, I say that because as much as I have doubts about England, that if we get through, we win the group. I think the route is quite kind. You have like a Netherlands in the round of 16, and you could have a Hungary or Scotland or someone like that in the next round. And then you'd face the big hitter in France in the semi-finals. But yeah, I had Germany, Austria, England, France, and I think they could make for some quite exciting games. I don't know if Rob had anything similar to that.
That's a really interesting one. Germany, Austria, I mean, yeah, that's a local derby per excellence, isn't it, really? So, Rob, okay, that's what you all thought last 4 years you've gone through the tournament.
Yeah, I feel like mine's quite a boring last four, but I just think it's the four best teams. So on one half of the draw, England have beaten, in mine, they've beaten Austria, then they've beaten Italy, then they've got France in the semis, and they're going to beat them, obviously. And on the other side, I've got Germany and Portugal in the semis, and I think Germany would beat them. I just got a funny feeling that Germany are going to do something different that we don't expect because they're on home soil and we know what that gives teams. I've just got that feeling they're going to push all the way to the semis, and I think they might play England in the final.
I mean, it's fascinating, guys, that you know you've both gone for three of the four, England, France, and Germany. And I must admit, when I went through it, I got those three as well. I took Portugal in as a bit of a wild card on that, just you know, because they just seem to have that tournament thing. But yeah, interesting. I mean, that's interesting because you know all three of us have gone for three of the four teams, and none of us included Spain or you know or Belgium. Interesting. Okay, so now this is the big question, the $64,000 question. And bear in mind, you both played the tournament. Some of you played it, Matthew, more than once, apparently. Who's going to win it, mate? Matthew, go on. You got you played the tournament, what did you say, two or three times? Did you have different winners?
No, it was Robin did it two or three. I just did it the once.
So. Oh, sorry, forgive me. Sorry.
If I had done it two or three times, I might not have had Austria. Although I did the same as you, though. I had Portugal against Austria in the quarterfinal, so whoever wins out of them will go through to the semi. My final was Germany against France, and I totally agree with Rob. I think Germany are coming into form at the right time. They have a little bit of momentum. I think sometimes so much of you know great stories in football can be done post haste, but a lot of the environment in Germany at the minute seems to be the base. Seems to have the foundations for a winning team. You know, it's a bit of restlessness in the country. It's a bit similar to England in that there's a lot of sort of political issues going on. A lot of people are not happy. There's an element of apathy towards politics and towards the football, which, you know, they go hand in hand. There have been a number of disappointments over recent years, and crucially, it's on home soil. And if you've got a whole country like Germany with their fan culture behind you, I think going into a final, even against a team as strong as France, who we haven't even talked about that much, but they are, you know, they're one of those teams that you assess how strong they are by the players they leave out. And I mean, it's absurd some of the players they've left behind. But yeah, I had a Germany France final, and I think Germany might just do some Julian Nagelsmann will do something crazy in the final, and you know no one will expect Kai Havertz to pop up at right back, and he will, and he'll just you know, have a stormer. So Germany for me.
Yeah, okay. I mean, Kai Havertz playing at right back for Chelsea would have been interesting. Wasn't it? He says muttering to himself under his breath. So Rob, you said it was you that did the three. Did you have the same winner each of your three ones, the three tournaments that you did?
Yeah, England. I'm so convinced that honestly, I'm so convinced that England are going to win. I think they've learned every tournament they've gone. Even though I know we got knocked out by France in the World Cup, whatever, but we missed the penalty. Like it's one of those things. He takes that 49 other times and he probably scores. I think our front six that we've got are probably better than anyone else's, and I include France in that because I think we've got the right blend and the right balance. I think Jamie Carragher a few weeks ago said we've got the best player in England, Phil Foden, we've got the best player in Spain, Jude Bellingham, we've got the best player in Germany, Harry Kane. So if you've got three of probably the best leagues in Europe, certainly, or if not the world, and your players are the best players on form and ability this season, surely you've got to go into it thinking you're going to win. I do, you know, as a Middlesbrough fan, Southgate has been my manager previously and it was absolutely dire. And I do appreciate that he's probably not improved that much as a manager, but he's managed the players really, really well. And I think that will really, really help him because I think managing these young players, he's been fantastic with. And I think that's what's going to make the difference for us is that we've got Southgate will manage them well. He's not a Nagelsmann who's going to be skateboarding around the camp throwing out 2-3-5 formations or whatever. He's going to play a 4-2-3-1, a 4-1-4-1, or a 4-3-3, and that'll be it. Really simple, like we were saying before, quite rudimentary tactics, but if we've got the best players on the pitch who are on form, I think we can really go all the way. And it seems a bit weird being this confident about England, but we really need to be because the last 15 years and the development that the country's made in terms of academy players and whatnot, we should be feeling like this. This is what Germany felt like in Spain and France when they've had their best players, and we've got to embrace it and go for it, in my opinion.
I tell you what, that's a compelling argument. I just hope that Kane doesn't make England Spursy like he did with Bayern Munich. But I love the confidence there, Rob. That's great. And I hope it's not just hubris. Okay, so there you go, guys, listening in. If any of those selections we've made here, you want to chuck a few quid on and it wins, just drop us a line. I'll give you the addresses to send the money to for the tips. It's normally free, but you know if you want to throw us a few coppers our way, that's great. Or gratefully accepted. So a massive thanks to Travis Matthew for coming on and putting your head above the parapet, as I said, and sort of saying, this is what's going to happen. And in a 6 weeks' time or 7 weeks' time, we're going to a few of us, if not all of us, are going to look pretty stupid, but some of us might be right as well, buddy.
I'm going to be laughed at. This will come out, and I'm not even going to check the comments on Twitter or anything like that, because that will be laughed at town. Austria in the semi-finals, you mad. You've got to be brave with your decisions, haven't you?
I think Rob's managed to sell a few extra England shirts as well, so I think you might be on a bit of a sort of backhand from the FA, Rob, for that. But, yeah, thanks for coming on board, Rob. And as I say, you know, if you're right, we'll all be happy, boy.
Yeah, we need to book the post-mortem podcasting, I think, for the day after the final, don't we? Either hungover from an England win or crying more tears over the England football team.
Yeah, I remember a few years back with Jim Hart, God rest his soul, a great friend, and I think it was Stephen Scragg and Steve Wilson, myself, we did a preview of the Moscow World Cup. We're all useless. So I think you can't do any worse than we did then, guys. So anyway, let's see how it goes. So anyway, that's our predictions. Thanks for listening in. Let's see how it goes, and let's hope England are right and Rob's right. But catch us next time anyway on the Love Podcast from These Football Times. Cheers. Bye.
Many thanks for joining us today on The Lob, a These Football Times production. For more of our content, check out our award-winning print magazine featuring some of the game's foremost writers, artists and photographers, exploring areas of the game rarely covered in high-end print. For now, we look forward to you joining us again soon.